So what happens next? That's where we're starting. Normally we start with the purple. We'll get to them at 12:35. Chad Hartman, Chris Tubbs, Harrigan is back for a day, and then he's gone again. Are you back in Wednesday?
Yes, I am.
I mean, Harrigan is just playing with your schedule, Tubbs. I hope he understands that. You're like a ping pong ball, and he's an expertise. He's showing his ping pong expertise, which I don't think he has.
I feel like I'm being used. Yeah,
you are.
I feel ping pong expertise. That's a good way. I wasn't feeling abused, but now I feel like I'm being taken advantage of by one David Nathaniel Harrigan.
You are a producer tart. That's what we're using you left and right.
I don't even know what tart is. Tart, is that a negative thing?
I was trying to think. Tramp? Can I go with tramp?
I've been called a lot of things, yeah. So tramp will work.
That's where he is. So Tubbsy is here. We're here till 3. What happens next? For the second time in 9 weeks, and by the way, like, can I just get out ahead on this one? You know me, big Trump supporter. Get out of here if you think it's fake. I don't believe a single second of it. Too many people are letting their disdain and hate for Donald Trump to cloud something called common sense. The previous attempt, someone died. Innocent individual died. The shooter died. So that was fake? Is this COVID territory again here? People really didn't die? Then this one, Trump hired the guy, or people sympathetic to Trump hired the guy. They want to end the debate talk. They want to end the dogs and cats are for their pate in Springfield, Ohio. So it's fake. Nonsense. I don't buy a single word of it. And you know me, waving my Trump flag. If you actually show me a morsel of proof, I'll look at it. There's none. There's zero. There's zilch. Just like there's no proof, zero zilch, that cats and dogs are being consumed for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Can we just have a little reality? So what happens next? What has come out in the last few hours that the suspect was at the location for, wait for it, 12 hours? 12 hours! I got it. You can't cover every speck of property where the former president is at. Let me also add this part, too, when people are wondering, man, how did he know the president's schedule? Okay, I mean, like, am I missing something? Donald likes to play a lot of golf. So for this individual to say, it's a Sunday, I think Donald Trump might play golf. Period. End of discussion. I'm so sick of people saying, how would he even suspected that? Now, if it turns out more information comes out and he had further information, we'll consume it. We'll report it. Now, some reporting is suggesting that Trump decided a bit at the last moment to play golf. He plays a ton of golf. But are we serious in what we're going to do next? We're going to talk to Jason Russell. We've talked to Jason a couple times now. Former Secret Service agent has been great with us on air. And both times we talked to Jason, he talked about the need for Secret Service to have more personnel. This, if you're just learning this today, you know, you're just not paying attention to the story. And I get it. But if you're in our business, this shouldn't be a surprise. Secret Service and trying to get more personnel has been a significant issue for a while. So when President Biden comes out, by the way, President Biden comes out of the White House with a helicopter in the background, speaks for about 30 seconds, says, kind, right away, thank God the president's okay, and then says, Secret Service needs more help. and then Congress needs to step in, and then takes off. The former president of the United States, the 45th president, presidential candidate, with another potential assassination attempt, and the present president can't give 5 minutes behind a podium, maybe 10, maybe 15, answer a couple of questions, but no 30 seconds, and then goes the helicopter? That's not close for me. Not close at all. Again, not a love, a lot of love between the two. Completely irrelevant in this case. You're the president of the United States. You can answer a couple questions where the public is wondering what's going on. You know this by now, but this will be confirmed when Jason Russell joins us at 2:35, and we're talking about it now. And I want your feedback. 651-461-9226. Regarding what happens next, it has always been clear that the present president gets significantly more Secret Service and other law enforcement around him than other individuals who are aspiring for that job. Now we have two. We have Trump and Harris. I think today, and this should include Harris, who has not had any attempts, but we're in uncharted territory now. Well, you know what? We're not quite in uncharted territory, because I remind you, Gerald Ford had two attempts on his life in 18 days. That's where we were with Gerald Ford. But two assassination attempts in 9 weeks, it is time for Donald Trump and Kamala Harris to get either the identical protection that Joe Biden gets or damn close. Because I am befuddled and angered that this individual could be outside Trump National for 12 hours and wasn't spotted until the end. And then at the time when they spotted them, it seems like excellent work. Again, we'll have to go back to the drone conversation we've had with Jason repeatedly. And the idea that they're going to go to Donald Trump and say he's not going to play golf, stop. Okay, that's he might give up the pursuit of the presidency before he gives up golf. He has more club championships to win. He's not going to stop playing golf. Let's get to the rhetoric. Because Trump today is casting some of the blame at Biden and Harris for rhetoric. Have Biden and Harris been perfect in rhetoric? Of course not. But when Donald Trump, the leader in the United States of America, on inflammatory, did he really say that rhetoric? No one who's had that position has been close to him. He's palling around now with Laura Loomer and the filth she offers up on a regular basis. So I'm going to be clear about this. Everyone in this country should be outraged that one individual came within a centimeter or two of killing Donald Trump, and now another person was outside the golf course and was within 300 to 500 yards. So that's not lost, but you can have multiple conversations in this. And when Donald Trump is pointing the finger at Biden and Harris, and we can cite some examples, but they're single A ball compared to Donald Trump in rhetoric. Let's just admit that. That's part of the appeal to a lot of people who love Donald Trump. That he's a flamethrower. He'll say things. So do I personally think any of the rhetoric is going to change off this second attempt? Zero. Do I think there's a way to disagree with Donald Trump or disagree with Joe Biden, disagree with Kamala Harris, and be forceful and be strong and be passionate without saying Anybody who supports him is awful. If they get in charge, the country's over. There's a way to do this with some nuance. And sometimes the comments don't require nuance. They require blunt criticism. I don't think the rhetoric is going to change. I really don't. What else do you think should change? What do you think will change? And what should change? And it's just not going to. Because I got to be honest, this story should be played even bigger today. I was trying to pay attention to both, the second one being the Vikings game. But when the former president of the United States has a guy who's, let's say, let's go middle, 400 yards away from him with an AK-47, and he had a previous attempt at his life just weeks before, I feel like the country should be reverberating a little bit more on this story. And I'm not saying there isn't coverage, but there's a little more matter of fact, let's go on with the rest of our life now. Is that really where we're at now? Is that how far we are with the divisiveness in this country? It's on 19 past 12. I'd love your phone calls. I'd love your texts. We're going to get to the Vikings later, bottom of the hour. We'll get back to the Vikings with Chip Scoggins at 2:05. John Bream is going to join us at 1:35, this Prince documentary. We've talked Ezra Edelman many times in the show, the brilliance of his documentary work. And John, writing the other day that Ezra sat him down for 6 hours. And again, as I said, former Secret Service agent at 2:35. What do you want to say about where we're at, what I've said before, or other points you want to raise about a guy with a rifle just a couple hundred yards away from the former president, maybe the future president of the United States? You know how to track us down. StylesFinancial.com, talk and text lines. 651-461-9226. All right, we'll get to a lot of texts. They're coming in. 651-461-9226. What should change? What will change? What should change but won't happen after a second? The first one was a clear-cut assassination attempt, Donald Trump. This, what are the reason why is this guy outside the golf course for 12 hours with an AK-47 other than an attempt to kill Donald Trump? This is where Donald Trump loses it when we talk about the rhetoric. To me, he loses. You don't have to agree. Trump telling Fox News Digital, he believed the rhetoric of Biden and Harris and he acted on it. Their rhetoric is causing me to be shot at when I'm one of the, when I'm the one who's going to save the country. They're the ones that are destroying the country, both from the inside. Now, are those two docile in their criticism of Donald Trump? Are they perfect? Are they just, excuse me, Donald, we want to say something? No. But Donald Trump bludgeons individuals with his rhetoric. How about yesterday morning? I hate Taylor Swift. That's subtle, wouldn't you say? I hate because she endorsed Kamala Harris. Then you have the leader of X, Elon Musk, prominent Donald Trump supporter. As people are reacting on Twitter, a user asked on X why they want to kill Donald Trump. Musk responds to this with his own retweet. And no one is even trying to assassinate Biden / Kamala. Are you that disgusting? He eventually was bludgeoned in the criticism, rightfully so, and took it down. But there's your leader. There's your moderator of the town square for us with a horrendous comment like that. All right, let's go to the texts and calls. Cheryl's called in. Cheryl, go ahead. You're on Newstalk A3OWC, so thanks for listening.
Hi. This whole conversation just disgusts me, not that you're bringing it up, but just the topic. I mean, this is what we've become as a country. We've become a country who is more concerned about banning books than keeping our kids alive and keeping them safe from gun violence. I mean, if we can, I'm not surprised that President, ex-President Trump got, is being a target. I mean, I'm sure Kamala Harris is too. She's this, I hate to say this, but maybe it just hasn't come to fruition yet. But the gun violence is atrocious in this country. We're the most violent country with guns in the world. So this is no surprise. I mean, this is,
well,
this is
par for the course. No, it's not par for the course. When a former president is facing two assassination attempts in 9 weeks, that is not par for the course. I do like the golf term. But the amount of gun violence we have in this country, the disproportionate amount of gun violence we have in this country related to other Western countries, yes, but the questions when it is dictated towards a former president or a future president or a presidential candidate, I think maybe the reaction to it might be we're so desensitized to it. But this isn't typical yet, and let's pray, Cheryl, that it never gets typical regarding a president or former president and attempts to kill him.
Well, how about our kids? I mean, why aren't we outraged about our kids?
We are. Come on, I mean, Cheryl, stop.
We don't do
enough about it. We sit and fall back into our positions and aren't willing to work with the other side. And I'm with you on that. But to say that we don't get upset about it or outrage, I don't agree. But I understand. Like when we had our last one, right? And I said on this show, again, nothing is going to happen, and it has become some level commonplace that shootings at schools take place. Let's try things, right? Let's be willing to listen to the other side and create some action. Would you agree on that?
But the gun lobby, no, the gun lobby is so powerful that nobody's going to listen to anything because the gun lobby owns, I would say, probably 75% of the politicians in this country. And until that stops, kids are going to be put on the firing line because nobody cares enough. And unfortunately, ex-presidents or future presidents are going to be put on the firing line, too, because our politicians are so in with the gun lobby that it's sickening.
Thank you, Cheryl. I think the gun lobby is very powerful. But it's a lot more than that. But to say they're not a part of it, that also would be insulting to what's taking place. Somebody points out again, don't forget the criticism of what happened to Paul Pelosi and all the nonsense and the lies. They were two lovers. He came there to kill the Speaker of the House. This isn't a matter where you have to say, I agree with Nancy Pelosi. This cannot happen. Just like today, if you don't care personally or professionally with Donald Trump, this cannot happen. But this does not become the idea that the person who's been attacked twice is allowed to say, oh, look at their rhetoric, when you're the rhetoric leader yourself. I mean, come on. Let's keep going on text. If President Biden spoke for more than 30 seconds, people would criticize him trying to stop gun violence. I guess he can't win. No, the President of the United States, when there's been a second attempt at his predecessor, who's in the race, he can stand up there and explain in detail what he has learned so far that he can share, what is going to happen next, and even answer a few questions. And if he wants to give his personal opinions, yeah, criticism is will come with that. But the president should be able to do that. Chad, the media just doesn't need to discuss terrible events extensively. It's just because we all know there's another one coming down the pipe shortly. True. And that's the point I made last week on the debate, which Harris won decisively. But I went with a couple things. I said, so what does that mean for the election? And so many other things will happen in the weeks and weeks ahead of the race that this will be forgotten quickly. And by the way, now it's Monday. Is anybody talking about the debate anymore? No, we're not. It's 32 past 12. Again, former Secret Service agent is with us in 2 hours. Vikings 2-0, and it feels legit. Let's talk when we come back.
Second down, nine. Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown shifting gears, getting a block. That's six. 97 yards.
The brilliance of Kevin Harlan on display. How about the brilliance of Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson, the signature play yesterday in defeating one of the best teams in the league, one of the teams, San Francisco. They've been as good as anybody the last few years, except for one team, Kansas City, who they've lost to twice in close Super Bowls. That's a signature win early in the season. Physical, power football, signature plays, overcoming injuries, with some mistakes, with San Francisco and superstar players making superstar plays, and you win that game. What has impressed you most about the purple so far? What has impressed you most about the purple so far? Send me a text, 651-461-9226. There's a lot, because you can tick off the list. But I'm playing the game here, and I would often say, no, you can't say, well, it's 50-50. To me, it's still the defense. And I get it, because I was offering up the hate towards Daniel Jones and the Giants last week and said, let's wait and see. And I know we still have the Brock Purdy debate out there. You know, it's a great story. Seventh round pick, last guy in the draft. And they're paying him so little, which allows them to pay Williams and Debo and Ayuk and Bosa and Warner all the money they're paying him. For me, Purdy is a little better than Kirk. That's where I put him. But at that pay, he's an incredible bargain. He's significantly better than Daniel Jones. And how about the talent around him? They lose McCaffrey. That's an enormous loss. The Mason kid, does he run hard? Now, I know the right side of their offensive line is new, but they still have Williams. They have all the skill at wide receiver. So to me, if I got to say what has impressed me most about the Vikings so far, it's that Brian Flores-led defense. Now, they were on the field for a while yesterday. They were on the field just short of 35 minutes. San Francisco ran 67 plays. So that wasn't dominance, but you're acknowledging the skill you are facing. By now, a lot of you probably saw where Purdy's shaking hands with his backup last year, Sam Darnold. We'll get to Darnold. And Flores just briefly comes up to him and gives him a handshake. And Purdy, who looks 12, says, your scheme is crazy. And Flores, we talk about it all the time, it's unrecognizable compared to Ed Donatell. It's just unrecognizable. And there are so many examples of it. But where do we start with individuals defensively? How about Patrick Jones, who most notable conversation about Patrick Jones before the season was the Mike Zimmer, Mark Craig story, where he was mad at Spielman for drafting all backups in the third round. One of those third round picks, Patrick Jones. Guy's got 4 sacks in 2 games. Patrick Jones is in that position first and foremost because he's playing better. Second of all, because Flores is using him so skillfully, and not every time he's out there. But look at the other guys that you have to block at different times. And again, all of them are not out there at the same time, which adds to how they can rotate people in. But Grenard, Van Ginkel, Turner, other members of that defensive line that don't have prominent names who've been very good so far. How about Blake Cashman, the Gopher? The 13 combined tackles. And if you're just watching the game yesterday, he was everywhere. How about the secondary? And I mentioned we can go to Van Ginkel. We can go to Grenard. We can go to Turner, although Turner tweaks something. He also came close to making a really good play on the punt coverage. Seemed like that was an easy one to just hand it to the other guy, but it's a lot easier for me to say that on the couch. But look at the secondary now. Look at where that secondary was last year when Flores, who wants to play aggressive, had to play zone so often. They bring Gilmore in. I don't think anybody believes right now he's a shutdown corner at this point in his career. But he knows what he's doing. He's a professional. He draws the respect of Kyle Shanahan and other play callers throughout the league. You had Shaq Griffin. You had Murphy. Then all the weapons they have at the safety position. Metellus, wherever he's playing, he's their hybrid. If Van Ginkle's not their hybrid. The continued excellence of Harrison Smith, Cam Bynum. The defense is unrecognizable from Ed Donatell. Now let's get to the QB. The QB has skill. You're the third pick in the 18 draft from the Jets. And as always, it's a combination of a variety of things. Because he's played on some lousy teams. He's also had some disastrous decisions. There were a couple moments yesterday. There were a couple moments where the Vikings had a chance to, one, to end it, and one, to take a huge advantage. We'll get to the end one in a second. But the first one, they're up 10-0. And Fred Warner, who's maybe the best linebacker in football, reads Darnold's play and just one of those, wait a second, is that the real Sam Darnold throws? The other one was the weird play where the two guys went in motion, which is going to stop the play. I don't think Darnold quite saw it, and he's flipping it backwards to Aaron Jones, and then there's the fly back there to get it. And you're like, wait a second. What is Darnold doing? But we played the highlight. By the way, great pass protection on that throw for Darnold. O'Connell showing faith in Darnold, showing faith in his offensive line, as he said after kind of sitting on that play for a while. Didn't think ideally he was going to use it on his own 2-yard line. And Jefferson's Jefferson. The other part, Stubbsy, did you notice that play? Probably enough attention was drawn to it postgame. Jalen Naylor, who again, I think he needs a better name than Speedy. But man, that dude is fast on that play. He's not the star of the highlight, though. It's not Darnold's throw. It's not Jefferson's catch. It's not Naylor catching up. It's the back judge. Did you pay attention to that back judge? How fast he was running?
Once Jefferson caught that ball, it's like you hit the turbo button on your video game controller. And then he backpedaled.
First of all, yeah. He just sprints. Okay, he sprints, and then he's backpedaled. Vikings should sign that guy today. It's the fastest.
I mean, you talk about a guy that I think could probably, hold... DJ Moore and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he'd be a great addition to that secondary. Super impressive.
You got to watch the highlight again to see how fast that back judge was. The thing is, your drive, though, is San Francisco pounds it 99 yards. And now, because of Jefferson and the collision with Warner, Jefferson downplaying. By the way, he's still JJ to me until JJ McCarthy plays. And I think since JJ, Justin Jefferson, more established, I think it's on JJ McCarthy to change his nickname. I know JJ, RJJ, is saying go with Jets. No, I'm not there yet. I'm sticking with JJ. I think McCarthy, can you remind me? Can you Google again? The JJ, is this a Jeff? Is it a John? Is it a Josiah? What do we got? I think it's on McCarthy to change his JJs.
He is Jonathan James McCarthy.
Yeah. Let's go John McCarthy. When John McCarthy comes back, it's up to him.
Maybe he could be Jets.
Yeah.
He could be Jets.
Well, I'll tell you, it could be Jets, the back judge. When they need to put together that drive, because the defense is playing well, but they just were out there for that long drive, and they were out there on the field for a long time in the second half. And you're starting that drive. Addison's out the whole game. Now Jefferson's out.
Mm-hmm.
Jones starts early, would come back a little bit late, but mainly he's out. Of course, we know Hockenson's out. And you have a 14-play, 6-minute and 46-second, efficient, intelligent, third-down driven drive with two third-down catches to Brandon Powell. That, to me, was an adult. That, to me, was this is a legit team where the 49ers are saying, you know what, I know you could have put the ball game away if Aaron Jones doesn't fumble when Fred Warner made a great play. If Jones goes in and they kick the extra point, it's 27-7, it's over. Start looking towards Houston. No, fumble, and then the 99-yard drive. For Darnold and O'Connell and all the players out there who normally aren't out there to put that drive together, that was the signature drive of the game. Not the 99-yard throw or 98-yard throw.
Right.
But that drive, what did you think of that one?
I absolutely thought the same thing because of the guys that you had mentioned that were out. But you get yourself to a position where it's third and three, third and four. To me, I'm thinking the easiest way to make San Francisco burn those timeouts, run the ball. But you see Darnold out of the shotgun. You see him drop back. And I'm like,
trusting him.
Who is he going to throw to? And then you see the little out to Brandon Powell or to Naylor, and you're like,
yeah, the throw to Naylor was fabulous.
Back shoulder. You're getting just enough to get that first down, and I'm like, okay, you're essentially treating these safe throws like runs. My concern was trying to get it a little too aggressive because really all you needed was the field goal. You go down, you get that field goal, and you're like, you're feeling good with 9 minutes left to go, or 3.5 minutes left to go up by nine, and San Fran's got one timeout.
See, I couldn't disagree more. I loved how aggressive he was. You had to keep San Francisco's offense off the field.
I love that they were aggressive. I was just surprised. I was surprised at how they did it with the passing.
But he's O'Connell's showing us right there his trust in Darnold and also his trust in himself. He's patting himself on the back saying, you know what? These plays still work even with Jefferson and Addison off the field. So what else impressed you most about the Vikings and the win 2-0 and now staring at another great team coming to town, although that team didn't look that great against the Bears last night. It's Houston in town last week. What do you want to say? Send me a text. What impressed you most about the Purple? 651-461-9226. It's 55 past 12. That is your Lindus Construction time check. Time to invest in GAF solar roofing and receive 75% off installation labor. We're looking at a lot of text here. What impressed you most about the Vikings, whether yesterday or the season so far? Among the texts, the buy-in from the players on the coaching schemes. It's always kind of a chicken and egg sort of situation like that, but there's a Cam Bynum quote after the game, too, where he's saying the number of players who haven't played certain systems and are buying in what Flores is offering up is rather telling. And I'm going to get into this with Chip. It's a lot of vindication for Kwesi. You know, we know the first draft was terrible, but O'Connell was a great hire. They realized Donatell was a poor hire. They land Flores. All the other moves they made in free agency and draft choices. The general manager, who took a fair amount of heat, deserves the praise he's getting. We'll talk about that more with Chip. The block punt, yep. That was a key part early on. Texter points out playing the Texans next week. Yeah, I mean, it's you knew after the Giants you were going to face some very good teams because then you get the Packers, but you're getting the Packers without Love. Yes, they won yesterday, but they're different with Love, and then they go overseas and they see Aaron Rodgers for about the 5,000th time. And I mean, they won, but they beat the Titans, so I'm not sure where they're at. Texter pointed out at the game how loud it was and a lot of other suggestions. We'll get back to the Vikings with Chip at 2 o'clock. Overrated next hour.